I'm going to call to order the Catuit Fire District December 18th, 2017 Prudential Committee meeting. Could I have a roll call, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Dan Goldstein, Prudential.
Charlie Eager, Clerk.
Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Is anyone recording? Is anyone recording? Amy Cates is recording. Is there any public comment?
I don't think it's on, but is it on now? Okay. Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. In the past, the former treasurer would post the budget reports every 2 weeks on the website, and I was wondering why that practice has stopped, and at least if we could have monthly reports posted to the website.
We decided only to do monthly reports, and you have to understand that there are only two part-time people working in that office. The firefighter's contract was recently completed and signed, and that required extra work on the part of the Treasury Department. So everything is not going to be there snap dab on one date that you want. They asked if they could delay it, and I said that was fine.
It hasn't been posted since June, so if we could just get a few of them up there, I'd appreciate it.
Seeing no other public comment. Chief?
Evening, Chief Root, Fire Department. To give the mid-year department report. Responses to date this calendar year are 779, exactly the same as last year this time. A few less than the year before that, but pretty much on track. Administration-wise, we've been working on computer systems for the fire station, computer networks upgrade. We signed a contract with the company Secure Networks to upgrade our computer system. They are moving our records management system to the cloud. They are creating a file storage system also in the cloud with backups and virus protection, which we did not have before. They're also putting a new email system in place. So they started that last Monday. That'll take next couple of weeks, we believe. At the same time, we are integrating our records, our EMS records and fire record systems. They're being tied into comms dispatch systems, so we'll get more data, more information that'll help us track information in the future. So all this was made possible with elimination of some unneeded contracts we had. So it wasn't new money, it was reallocated and better spent to serve us. Firefighters contract's been signed, completed with the help of the negotiation team and the treasurer and assistant treasurer. So we've signed the 2017 to 2020 contract. We've also been holding monthly meetings with the Barnstable PD and the other four fire districts, working on ways, cooperative efforts to improve services. So right now we're talking about consolidated dispatch. We're also working on mutual responses to increase or reduce response times and increase service. So we're working on that. Training. We've got a new online EMS training program we've signed up for. It's through a company called Pro EMS out of Cambridge. The firefighters now will be able to do their recertification training in the station online. They do 50 hours a week of live classes. It will reduce our overtime costs and allows us to open up an EMS officer position and increase training in other under-trained areas in the past. Also, this fall we did U.S. Coast Guard training. So we sent two firefighters to a two-week Coast Guard training program. They've completed that. And Chris Dolly just returned from a three-day car seat installation class. So now we are a certified car seat installation person at our department again. In addition to that, we've done numerous fire training and EMS training classes. These are just the standout ones. EMS billing. We've updated our billing rates back this summer, and we are in the process of switching from ComStar to Pro EMS, a new billing company. The new billing company has reduced rates, so we were paying 5.5%. Now we're paying 4%. In addition to that, we're getting free computers for patient care entries, so we get two free computers for our trucks. We have quality improvement, quality assurance for our runs, so they're doing quality control for us. They'll be doing customer survey forms for all our patients we transport. And they also run the online EMS training program that we're using. Personnel, obviously, you know, Chief Olson retired and Lieutenant Sergeant retired. We hired Kate Halloran back in June, who's still at the Firefighting Academy. And we just last week got the EMS officer position approved through the fire commission. It's not a new position, just an increased responsibility for one of our current firefighter paramedics, a stipend position. So that will help us meet regulatory and requirements for our ambulance, our EMS, and regulatory training requirements. And again, it's a reallocation of training money. It's not an increase in the budget. Apparatus-wise, 263 was refurbished over the last year. There was money set aside in an article. It was accomplished with maintenance money and not the article money, so all the article money was authorized to be returned. And boat 266 spent the summer in the water, which reduced response times for the responses that it went on. We are in the process of working on a permanent in-the-water solution. Haven't quite figured out exactly what that is. We're in talks with the Harbor Master Department and the Kootenai Mosquito Yacht Club, as well as some private dock owners, to figure out both a short-term for next year and a long-term permanent solution. So we're working on that with those agencies, also working with the police department as well. Facilities, the septic system went out to bid for a new septic system. We separated septic and paving because we didn't want to pay the markup on the paving. Typically, there's different companies who do both, and we wanted to make sure we had the money for the septic and not kill it because we overbid things. So the septic bid closed on the 27th of November. It was awarded to Board of Lotties. With approximately $36,000. That has to be done by the end of March, at which time we'll go back out to bid for paving. We should have enough money left over for the paving of the parking lot. To make way for that, we have a new gas line put in, so our generator is going to be running on natural gas, and the propane tank will be removed, which will make room for the septic and less of the parking lot to be removed and increase parking spaces when we're all done. We've upgraded our lighting system. Most of our lights in the station were the old fluorescent lights, which were failed. So we've got no all LED lights in the station. And our fire alarm system failed the other day, so we have a new fire alarm system that was installed. Other than that, facilities, we pressure washed the station the other day because it was looking a little green. That's what I have. Any questions on any of that?
I have a question about the email. Is all the district email going to be able to be transferred over, do you know?
Yes, they're creating email accounts for all the fire department staff, Prudential, fire commissioners, and I think the clerk as well. And they will give us all access to dedicated online storage space in the cloud. I haven't talked to them about water department space. I think that's something that, that Ray is going to talk with Chris about in the future.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Are they... Have we talked to the water department about going using the same server with the new computers?
In very general terms, nothing specific.
Okay.
All right. I thought I'd wait until after the fire department is installed, and then it would be a separate contract in any case.
Okay. All right.
So give us like a really 30-second highlight on the new contract, the costs involved.
Sure. The firefighters, the contractual raise was 1-1 splits for 3 years. So 1% for the first 6 months, another 1% for the second 6 months, times 3 years. I'm trying to think what else was involved in the contract. They brought back education. So we have an education clause for new firefighters, which was discontinued several years back, 5 or 6 years ago. So new firefighters now motivated to and compensated for education at a much lower rate that's more consistent with contracts throughout the Cape. They also got longevity, hopefully to retain employees. Training is very expensive for new employees. I'm trying to think of the other big...
Holiday pay.
So they in the past, they were paid overtime for holidays when they were on duty. Now they're not paid overtime. They're paid twice a year, biannually, for the holidays, whether they work them or not, but they don't get overtime for working in the holidays, so they get an overtime, I mean, a holiday stipend now twice a year.
Has anything, this may be not another question for you, but for Fran, has anything, what's the status of the issue with pay, sick pay, and other types of pain that come under various, what is it, 111?
111F injury.
Yeah, and you so might the, then and yeah, the relationship with the AG office.
Yeah, so injury or a sick benefit time is not awarded after, I think it's 60 days of being on line of duty injury. It's very clear in the contract. There was a decision made, I think, several years ago to strictly abide the contract. It was a little confusing years before that, but since that point in time, we've strictly been adhering to the contract.
So the contract, obviously.
The contract spells it out. There's really no ambiguity in the contract as to when they do and don't accrue. So that's what we follow now. And there were some errors made in the past, but we are following the contract going forward.
Okay, so we all settle with the AG's office on that, or
the IG.
IG.
As far as I know, that's all. The chairman of the fire commissioners sent a letter, he didn't see a need to go to Gargiulo's office to run through their files, and we're following his recommendation that he sent to us. So as far as I know, that's all cleared up. I haven't heard anything else.
It is cleared up. We're now tracking. In the past, we tracked vacation accruals and leave accruals. We've tracked them by manually typing into an Excel spreadsheet. They are being tracked electronically now in a firehouse, our fire records management system. So they are tracked real time. So anytime anybody, the duty shift's done for the day, it says where everybody is, it automatically deducts from the time. So at a push of a button, everybody can get printouts on all the leave balances. So they're electronic now.
The Treasurer's Office has also requested that that all the information required or about accumulated vacation and leave time is in their hands, which it hasn't been in the past. Mm-hmm. So they'll all have records of all that in the Treasurer's Office.
We'll be submitting that on a weekly basis to the Treasurer.
On the payroll stubs. So each individual will have that information as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So. And that's updated for each pay period?
Yes. That will be. I mean, yep. Okay. We're putting that system in place now.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just going to, no other questions. I'm going to skip over, just so you don't have to stay, to the District Family Medical Leave Act policy. So I gave you each a copy of this, and I believe this is the basis, the chief did this, and the basis of this is the Town of Barnstable Family Medical Leave Policy.
It is essentially the Town of Barnstable Leave Policy. The only difference is Town of Barnstable has several unions, and depending on which union you're in, your sick time can either be 100% available as family leave sick time, which means you can use it for a sick family member, or as low as 50%. So somewhere between 50% and 100% of your sick time is allowable to be used for family sick time. I wrote that up assuming that it was 100% in our case. We have past practice in the fire department of allowing sick time use for family members. So that's how I wrote it up. That's the only change to that policy from the Barnstable, Town of Barnstable.
I think that's the general practice. Certainly is the practice where I work.
It's the practice for the state of Massachusetts and the executive department of employees. They're right. All their employees are that way. There are several other towns. Some of the other ones vary around the state, but it seems to be more common than not.
Yeah. So there was a public records request for a similar policy. I think Mrs. Gardner submitted it. Does this satisfy that request? Or
it's a standard policy for FMLA, and it would satisfy that request and tell us how we do business going forward. We currently don't have a written policy on this.
And I also gave everyone, I'll give this to you, the small needs.
You emailed it to me, yes.
Yeah. So along with the federal family leave policy, the state of Massachusetts has something called a small needs policy that, for parents to, parents or a spouse or the employee's health I'll stick with kids because that's what I know best. So if somebody has a handicapped child and they need to go to physical therapy, they can intermittently use the family leave policy. And it also works for sick children, medical appointments. So it's quite a bit more. It just was passed by the state to augment the FMLA policy. So it's called small needs. So we're strongly suggested that we follow that policy also.
And that you just sent that around today. That's not incorporated. I haven't had a chance.
No,
to
read. It's in this. It's in. Yeah, it's in there.
Advisor. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think we can probably, you know, everybody can read that, and then at our next meeting, we'll formally adopt the policy. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
All right.
Okay.
Space needs assessment.
Okay, so as of the last meeting, I sent out the documents that I had, if you will, sanitized, but I'm not sure where we are with respect to 30B or 7C, which way we want to go, and I expect we probably ought to make a decision pretty soon and follow through on it if you want to get to use the 25K that was approved at the last annual meeting.
Well, it was further sanitized to basically say we just want to know how much square footage we might need for our district needs, and could we get a, you know, basically an industry square foot price for that particular type of space. And unfortunately, that was rejected as having to fall under the designer selection law as well. So
apparently the person at the AG's office thinks that that's a feasibility study.
So the long and the short of it is I'm sure that we can fit, you know, what we're now, if we make it as bare bones as it sounds like they want it to be, we're not going to get anything real worthwhile out of it that we can't get by going on the internet and figuring if you have 10 employees and you want to give them each certain space, how much, you know, we can figure that out. So I'm at a loss as well as to what to do with this particular.
Well, I mean, I would suggest that we go with I couldn't find my original document because I overwrote it.
I can send it to you.
Okay, yeah, good, because everybody has it except me now. I have version two, two versions of version two and one version of version three on my Word documents. I would suggest we go with 7C with the full boat and we get the quotes back. And we ask for the quotes to be broken down into individual work areas, if you will. And then we just pick and choose what we can afford, and then we go forward with in FY19 with the rest. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I have a question for the chief. So if we go ahead to do the 7C, we have to form a design committee, correct?
We do have to form a design committee to evaluate the designers, correct?
So is there any other requirement that we have to do besides?
So you've got two choices as far as price go. You can advertise for a designer and list a maximum price or a price you're paying for the job. And I've talked to one company, and they seem to think that the money we have appropriated is enough for what you're looking for. So we can do that. We can also do the evaluation without listing a price. And then after we evaluate, we have to evaluate the bidders based on the qualifications, not based on price. So we can't even look at the price when we evaluate them. We evaluate them, rank them 1 to 3. Then we can negotiate with the first bidder, with the number one ranked bidder, we can negotiate a price.
So does this have to go on the state?
Yes.
Go through all the state, post it on all the state?
We have to post on the central register for 2 weeks, in the local newspaper for 2 weeks prior to the bid opening.
I mean, I frankly suggest, just to avoid any kind of conflict later on, that we just follow the letter of 7C and do what we can with the money we have for this particular fiscal year.
Well, it sounds like the money might be sufficient to give us what we need.
If we do this, once we pick a designer, we can keep the same designer throughout the process, so we can use the same designer without going back out to bid again when we choose to do the design for the actual, assuming addition, facility, alterations, whatever is decided to be done.
Right, but we'll need more money for the designer.
Yeah, more than likely.
Basically
more money
for the architect.
Yeah, a lot more money.
A lot more.
A lot more.
Could you clarify your last statement, either Chief or Fran? As far as needing more money for the designer, I guess I don't.
When they actually produce the engineering drawings for a building, they're gonna want more than the $25,000. So they'll do a facility study. They'll give you rough plans and rough estimates and budgets and timelines. But to do the final, 100-page drawings that show how the HVAC goes and electrical, it's probably the neighborhood of $100,000 is my guess. I don't know. Depends on the size of the building and what we proposed. If it's an alteration to an existing structure, I'm sure it's fairly low. If it's a new facility, then it's going to be higher.
So would you say your guesstimate for the architect's $100,000?
That's just a crazy guess. I don't know. I mean, it depends what we're looking at.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Everything with the municipal and government services, a lot more than anywhere else. I mean, we could be talking $600 a square foot for buildings.
Yeah.
That's possible. It depends on the economy at the time and how busy all the contractors are. And
it's
not cheap.
I guess I'm looking for some inputs on how you feel we should go forward on this, and we need to do to meet 7C, to come up with a scope of work, and also to meet 7C, and also look at the monies that are involved.
So, are there specific requirements for the design committee? I seem to remember you saying that, the composition of it.
I don't believe so. I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, you could make the design committee just your committee, I believe.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, we can go back to Stan's original draft, which, included a lot more of what we were looking for. Waste of time clarifying things, but, I don't have any problem taking that and working.
If we go out to a bid, and I don't know I'm trying to search for words here, but if we compartmentalize various parts of the bid so that they could give us a quote on this particular section and then this section and this section, and then we can kind of
pick and choose,
or it's probably A, B, C, D, E, and it's a logical flow, so we may only be able to afford A, B, and C this fiscal year, and then next year we do D, E, and F. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah.
And I'll be glad to work with you whatever you want. I'm going to be off Cape from the 19th through the 27th, and then it's pretty close to New Year's, so it's probably looking at early January before I'll be much involved.
And it's just a crazy time right now.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to go back to it. I can pick Paul's brain some more, and I'll just start back with the original draft that we started with and see. I can clean it up,
And then we can involve Chuck, I believe, with the with the various advertisements that need to be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think probably what we should do right now is make a motion to have the Prudential Committee become the Catuit Fire District Design Committee for the possibility of. The construction of a clerk's office. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Okay.
So did you both get a chance to read the minutes?
I did. They look fine to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Second. So moved.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. I think that's anything else anybody has? For the committee? No.
Okay. Good.
I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.